What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 17th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I have to apologize. I know there wasn't a podcast on Sunday, which means you got to go back and read the article, all right? I have these roundups. They are really helpful, and it was really nice meeting a lot of people over Tout Wars weekend. I had my draft. Oh my gosh, I made a roster of 77% hitters in this auction league, and I hope I didn't mess it all up. You can definitely follow me in my journey of making a pitching staff work in a CBS points league head-to-head on Tout Wars throughout this year. But it was really great just talking to everybody, and I do want to say, if you are watching baseball on opening day, come to pitcherlist.com. Just come watch it with PitcherList, okay? It's going to be at playback.tv/PitcherList. This is what we're doing. If you have MLB.tv, you will be able to see the live game video, not a StatCast game day thing. It will be as if you're watching MLB.tv on your own, but you'll be watching it synced up with me on stage as a commentator with all of our community. And anytime baseball is on this season, we will have baseball live streaming at playback.tv/PitcherList. So stop watching baseball alone. Have a chat that's synced up. You know that feeling when you're watching a game, you go to Twitter or Blue Sky, and all of a sudden they say, oh man, what a home run. You're like, what? And you look over and the home run happens because it's out of sync. No more. Everybody will be synced to the same game. It does not pierce blackouts, but if it is a blackout, you will see us and you'll see the game cast still. So you'll be live and up to date with all of us, and we'll be live reacting to games as it happens. So all of opening day, I will be streaming from 1 p.m. to midnight or whatever, 1 a.m., whenever the last game ends. Just come on by. It's free. If you have MLB.tv, you'll see the video. Just stop watching baseball alone, guys. Watch it with the Peel community, who does not talk about sports betting. We do not curse. We do not do incendiary comments. We do not call baseball players trash or anything like that. We're just people who are passionate about baseball like you are. Okay, cool. So news to know. You should know that Tobias Myers will be out for weeks with an oblique injury. Brandon Woodruff is the number five, but he threw yesterday. And in that game, it was just one inning and I watched it. He hit 95. The broadcast said it. And people are worried that, oh no, he's not hitting or sitting 96 like he used to. I wouldn't be so concerned quite yet because Brandon Woodruff at 96 is an SP15 or something like that. You know, he's like a top 15 guy. You don't need Woodruff to be that where he's going in drafts. If he's sitting 95, which actually I think he might because this is not the adrenaline go loose and go ham on this start, right? He's still ramping up and he's being really mindful about it. I would say that we should probably expect, yeah, Woodruff at 95, and that should be a beneficial starter. You don't need him to be that SP2 for your teams. If he's an SP5 and a solid 115 whip with a 370 ERA and lots of strikeouts, like that's good. You'll get wins. You'll get volume per start after, say, like April 20th or something like that. I'm in for that. So definitely pay attention to Woodruff. But in the meantime, it might be Logan Henderson as the SP5. And also keep in mind that Jose Quintana is also a little bit behind on his ramp. Davey Garcia went after him. He was okay. You might see that piggybacking too. So the Brewers are trying to piece this together with Hall and Ashby already out. And oh man. So keep an eye on that for the first couple weeks. The Padres are also giving Yu Darvish extra rest because he is going through quote fatigue, which is wild. He didn't start really at the end of the year. And they say it's precautionary. It might mean that he's on the IL, which means that Kyle Hart, who went yesterday, is in the rotation with Steven Kolek to start the year. It might be very limited for Hart as he only threw, I think it was about an inning or two. I can't remember. I watched it. I'll report on it later. But really, with Hart, it's a good sweeper that should work against lefties, but he threw so many of them against righties, and the changeup only went 10 times against righties for zero whiffs. So Hart is going to have to figure out how to get whiffs against right-handers with that changeup. I think it has to do with his fastball approach. It's not a good fastball. It's like 91 on both the four-seamer and sinker, but he went inside with them to right-handers. And because they're inside, I think anytime someone saw something like a fastball away, they knew it would be the changeup, right? And you have the sweeper starting far away and coming back. So you didn't really have anything that would mirror the changeup away. And I think that's why they were spat on a lot, or at least hit, not for a whiff. So I think that's an adjustment that can be made for Hart, and it can turn into a 15-team Toby. That's pretty much what we see, maybe a 12-team Toby. Let's see here. We have Zebby Matthews, who is the demoted to the minors. A little bit disappointing, but Chris Paddock and Simeon Woods-Richardson. It's not too shocking that they earned their rotation spots. We'll see Zebby pretty quickly, I'm sure. Clark Schmidt was scratched from Sunday's start with a minor shoulder issue. However, he did throw a bullpen of 25 pitches, and he felt great. So this would have been a bigger deal if he didn't start, or if he didn't pitch at all. He wouldn't have been pitching if it was really that big of a deal. I think he's still going to be that guy in the rotation. Whew. The Yankees are really happy they signed Max Fried. And the Cardinals are considering a six-man rotation to get regular innings from Michael McGreevy. I don't think McGreevy is worth your attention. He's a command guy at best, and maybe there's some NL-only volume plays there, but I think 12-teamers, you don't need to touch it. 14-teamers, probably not. 14-15, you don't need to either. Tyler Glasnow pitched in an exhibition game. Did great. Cool. Jameson Taillon and Matthew Boyd did as well. It's cool to see Taillon go like 48% sweepers. Actually, it was 52% to right-handers, and they worked well. And honestly, yeah, that's probably your best pitch against right-handers, so keep doing that. Cutters up and away to lefties is strange. It's kind of like the cannibal McSanchez. I don't know. But yeah, at least getting right-handers out is cool. Figuring out how to handle lefties is obviously the main thing for Taillon. And with Matthew Boyd, he had a really good game of 4 innings, 0 runs, and 6 Ks, but I don't really think he pitched that well. The four-seamer was up top as it was supposed to be. It's just not really that good of a four-seamer up there. And his slider and his changeup were floated, but it worked against the worst opponent that is a Japanese exhibition game. I got him in Tout Wars because I think he's a steal in CBS points leagues. And I'm happy about that. I just wish he would get his changeup and slider down. Pablo Lopez, this is a cool one. He went 6 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 8 Ks. I asked him about this because he threw 16 splitters. What? Pablo Lopez does not throw a splitter. And I had a guess that it was him seeing this in a bullpen and like other people throwing it. And he decided to throw in a bullpen, felt okay with it, and wanted to give it a shot. That's exactly what happened. I asked him about it. And it went 2 for 16 whiffs with 56% strikes. But it felt really good at times for him. And he's saying, I think I might try to make this work. Look, having more weapons is a good thing for Pablo Lopez, especially considering that he's had some struggle with the changeup. And with the sweeper, it's still missing. Like, a lot of things missed middle against right-handers, but there were some that he was able to stretch his zone there. He felt good going down and in with the sweeper to left-handers, just kind of like how Sonny Gray did last year, his former teammate. So I think Pablo Lopez is in a good spot. You see the 8 Ks in 1 walk and obviously the 4 runs and 7 hits, but I think those are adjustments that can be made. And obviously this was a little bit of experimentation. He's still at 96 miles per hour. So we're cool with Pablo Lopez. Garrett Crochet, 4 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. He's amazing. Cam Schlitter for the Yankees, 4.2 innings, 1 run. He's a four-seamer sweeper curve guy, and I don't really like it. And I don't think that the Yankees really want to lean on Cam at all. It was 3 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. He's not the guy that you pick up when they need him to get some starts. Carson Fulmer pitched for the Pirates and fine, whatever. 2.2 innings and 200 runs. Jose Barrios had a phenomenal game. 6 innings in the spring. Oh my gosh. 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. Oh man, we're so close to the season, y'all. And if you haven't gotten PL Pro yet to help with your drafts, our live draft assistant beta is live for the web app. It looks so good. If you're doing a 12-team league, like, it is awesome. There is no better looking live draft assistant out there, just to keep your draft going and to feel, feel confident with the next pick. Our cheat sheet is great with our PLV projections. You can also get all the slew of apps that you'll get in season. And keep in mind that UI that we have for our live draft assistant is carrying over to our fantasy manager. That's going to have league sync. That is a beta that we're launching in June. I believe the first week of June, maybe in May, it's possible. But we are really, really excited about that. And you should get PL Pro. That's 15% off PL Pro with promo code PODCAST. You can see that in the notes of the podcast as well. So we hope you sign up today. There's also Lifetime. We're going to be shutting that down relatively soon. And it's the number one way to ensure that we can create the tools that you want here at Pitcher List. Everything we raise really is just going back into a tree like a nonprofit. Guys, I don't make a full-time salary. We have full-time staffers, but I don't take one because I'm trying to make the site that you all want. So help us get there. Become a lifetime supporter today. And yes, you'll get some free merch if you do that. All right. Grant Holmes and Jose Barrios went against each other, as I mentioned. Barrios had a 6-for-14 whiffs on his four-seamer and 4-for-8 on his changeup, while his curveball was whatever and his sinker wasn't really well spotted. Yeah, this was weird and not really the Barrios that you should expect. Now, Grant Holmes did something very encouraging, and I'm going to tell you what that is after this break. Grant Holmes went 5.1 innings of 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks, which isn't encouraging. Trust me, I get it. However, he threw 93 pitches. And I can't tell you how many times I've answered questions about Grant Holmes saying, oh, no, he's not extended enough. They're not going to use him. 93 pitches, y'all. He was in the sixth, and this wasn't even his best day. It was fastball velocity 94-95, which is usual, but just 3-for-42 whiffs on his two breaking balls. And these are both like 20 to 25% swing miss pitches. So that's very strange and should not be the typical thing for Grant Holmes, the real estate broker. So I'm so encouraged by Grant Holmes seeing that 90 pitch limit go already in the spring. And yeah, he should be going 6 innings constantly for the winning ball club in Atlanta. Amazing. With strikeouts too. Okay. Tyler McGill, 5 innings, 4 earned runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 6 strikeouts. He kind of went 4 seamers upstairs, but you know, he had some sinkers in there too that he was mixing between, which is nice. I like that because he has the extension and good velocity. He has a slider underneath. It all is like better, but he still had 4 runs and 6 hits because it's not like polished. It's not amazing, but at least it's not chaotic. You know, that's good. It's a step forward. You just aren't there yet, and I won't sign up until you are because I feel like this is a good day, not like the new bar, right? Cal Quantrill pitch, that doesn't matter. Sorry. Sonny Gray had a terrible day. 3 innings and 8 earned runs, 6 hits, 5 walks, 5 Ks. His velocity was down 1.5 ticks to 90.9. Oh dear, we want to see like 92, 93 at the minimum there. And I think like this is one of those days where the sweeper wasn't working. He's often a guy that goes in and out too of being effective and not effective. And I can't believe I haven't said this before, but there are times when he's sunny and there are times when he's gray. Right, that's Sonny Gray. Okay, Matthew Liberatore, 3 innings of 0 earned runs. It's nice to see that. I don't think he's going to get starts until there's a crack in the armor with the 6-man rotation. And even then, it might just fall into a 5 because they're trying to get McGreevy more starts, not necessarily Liberatore. So I don't really think that Liberatore is doing enough to get excited. Jack Leiter, 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks. Oh, 4 Ks. No, but the thing is, those are situational walks because he had 3 pitches. His 3 most thrown pitches were at least a 61% strike rate or higher, and the slider was a 58%. It's not like he just was completely erratic. He was nibbling, and he was trying to do a little too much. It's annoying because, like, Leiter, just have a high strike rate, and you're fine. You know, just have a high strike rate. That's all you gotta do. Don't try to make the perfect edge pitch. You're good. Just throw sliders in the zone and don't care. Oh, I just want to shake him sometimes. I think he's going to make that adjustment in SOAR. So definitely go again, Jack Leiter, in your leagues, especially if you can slot him in the RP slot. I think that's great for those that are points leagues. You have Bryce Wilson, who's not going to be the fifth starter for the White Sox. That's going to be Shane Smith. Do I have Shane Smith hype or Sean Burke hype? Not really. Someone made a good point inside the Discord that Sean Burke is going on opening day, and that is a good way to assess early. I'm a huge fan of that. If you can get an opening day starter in a good matchup, then that can work out really well. Thing is, I don't think that Sean Burke is that great for your 12 teamers, maybe for your 14s and deeper. But with Shane, it's just not as good of a fastball as we've seen previously, but maybe it is in that day and all of a sudden things are cool. So I totally get that. So 15 teamers, yeah. Sean Burke is a fun target because it's the first day, then you can get rid of him in on your Friday, or sorry, your Sunday fab. But I think 12 teamers, you don't really need to do it. It's not Garrett Crochet. I don't think so. Probably not. He doesn't have the same like 7-foot plus extension with a dope cutter. Kyle Hart, as I mentioned before, the end of result was 3 innings, not 1 or 2, it's 3. 2 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. As I mentioned, he needs to do more, and I'm not going after that yet. And Brandon Fott had an amazing day, 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. But it was still down velocity. It was around 93, if not underneath that, 92.7, which is not 94 plus, and or at least hovering that. And while his sweeper had a great day against right-handers, 7-for-15 whiffs, you know, the four-seamer is all that was there against left-handers, and you know that's the problem for Brandon Fott, and it's why I just don't want to draft him. Going to games that were not on TV, we have Jack Flaherty, 4 innings, 6 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. You know, he's going to do this. His fastball got hit because the fastball isn't that good, and he needs to do more with his curve and slider to mask it. But This is going to happen from Flaherty. He still had 6 Ks and 2 walks. It is what it is. Albert Suarez, 5 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. And I wonder if a start like this actually means that they don't put Popovich in the rotation until they know that he's going to stay in the rotation. And then instead of Suarez being a long reliever, they just have him in the rotation. They just have a better bullpen piece instead. I wonder if they do that because this was good Suarez, and this would work as like a streamer. That's all. Alex Pham also showed up for 4 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. I have not thought about Alex Pham at all. And this was a guy with a super over-the-top delivery at 19 inches of vert at 94, but then straight down the line, kind of like a Glasnow without the same velocity, because it's 94, and without the extension instead of 7.5, it's 6.5. But it's an 86, 87 mile per hour curve or slider, whatever you want to call it, and then the big curve underneath it at 77 with a ton of vertical drop. I've seen this before. It can very much work. You just got to throw a little bit harder and with a little bit more extension. But it was effective enough here, and if he's able to spot those cutters, that can work. Brady Singer pulled back on the four-seamer. He threw 50% sinkers and 20% four-seamers and then 20% sliders overall. And I actually was excited to see like a 50-50 split of four-seamers and sinkers in his previous start because I actually do think that because there's such extreme movement on the sinker, adding the four-seamer brings extra doubt to that pitch, and he can actually have more success with it because that sinker sets it up more. But we'll see how this pans out. It was a good outing, 4.1 innings, 1 run, 5 Ks, 1 walk, 4 hits. That can be enough. And also, if you just pull back the sinker for more sliders, 19% is kind of low for Singer. So everything seems all right here. I got him in my Towers draft because I think that he's going to get good volume. I mean, he might be a sneaky one, especially early on. That was also a league where I needed early volume because I invested in like Strider and Giolito. There you go. You have Bryce Miller at 5 innings, 1 run, 7 Ks, 3 base runners. Nothing really exceptional with the secondaries, but the four-seamer is amazing, so fine. Kyle Freeland pitched, and you don't care. It was bad. Cole Reagans was at 2.2 innings of 2 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. He was down to 95, which is akin to last year overall, so like kind of not the 94 that we saw late and not the 96 early. But it was 97 plus in his previous one, so I hope everything's okay. I think everything's okay, but I hope everything's okay, okay? Hayden Birdsong, 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. So here's the thing. That's 18 Ks and 0 walks across 12 innings and 4 games this spring. I don't think I'm buying it. I mean, last time I saw him was bad sliders to right-handers. They just couldn't get away and just still erratic curves and four-seamers. But he's finding enough strikes still, and I think the Giants would be smart to have Rupp and Birdsong as their 4 and 5, not Hicks and Harrison. Harrison is already on the outs. We already know that. And the fact that Birdsong went 5 and Harrison went 3 should tell you that here. And Harrison was 3 innings of 300 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. I just think that the Giants are going to realize that Hicks should be a reliever, and Birdsong should get this opportunity with such a good spring. So I guess he's worth a late flyer. I really don't think he all of a sudden just figured out his command and his control. I think it's a weird sample, but I hope to be wrong because I don't want to say no for an upside guy because he's an upside guy. And like, it's clear that that can be valuable. So sure, throw him into the whole Richard Fitz, Max Meyer tier. What the heck? Jeffrey Springs, 3.2 innings of 400 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. He hasn't been up to snuff lately, and not every spring is going to be filled with rainbows. So I'm not really going after Jeffrey Springs at the moment. We didn't have data here on this, but I just feel like it's not enough. It's not really a thing I want to chase. Kyle Hendricks pitched, and that's whatever. Reed Detmers went 4 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. I'm not buying it, but if you want to, go ahead. I'm just not going to. Dylan Cease, 4.1 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 8 strikeouts. No data, but yep, it looked like a Cease outing, so that's fine. As I already talked about, Woodruff and Quintana went 2 innings after with 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. I think he still needs time to stretch out, as I mentioned before. And Ben Lively, 3.2 innings, 4 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. I kind of think like there is something to what he did last year, not just luck with how he separates his four-seamer and sinker and utilizes the sliders. But yeah, I don't really want to go for it quite yet. And then we have games that had no data or TV. Soroka with 6 walks and 4 innings with 6 runs. Oh boy, I think we can just kind of think it's going to be better moving forward. Eflin, 4 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. He's going to be a Toby in 12 teamers. Ignore this. Luzardo had one of those good games. Don't forget those exist. 4 innings of 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks, right? Yes, you'll have those back-to-back-to-back home run games, and I'll have this. That's Luzardo. And last but not least is 3.1 innings of Joe Boyle with 200 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. Rasmussen is going to get that job. So I don't think you need to stash Joe Boyle. Unless there's an injury, I think he's going to be in the minors getting stretched out. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIP below and your strikeouts high.